Eric Dawson's Talking Politics and Breaking Down the Issues. Coming to you live from Essex County, New Jersey, this is All Things Political.
This is Eric Dawson live again. Welcome back to another episode of All Things Political. Today is May 10th. There's primary going on in Kentucky and in Oregon, and it shows on my screen right now that the polls in Kentucky have just closed, and they're counting the race too close to call, although Bernie Sanders was 7% of the vote in, is up by one percentage point, and he's leading, you know, by roughly 500-600 votes. It's 20,000 and change to 19,000 and change for Hillary Clinton. So that's one of the things that I want to talk to you guys about tonight, is the ongoing race, you know, for president, the primary season, and what all of that means. The spin doctors on on the mainstream media. Want to also talk to you guys a little bit about the primaries coming up in New Jersey on June 7th and what that all means. And I'm sure many of you listen to this show and read the local papers found out that Phil Murphy, former ambassador to Germany, who was appointed by President Obama, is running for governor, and he's running against, I believe it's going to be Sweeney for now, Fulop, and Joe DiVincenzo. And that's what's happening on the state scene. And then on the local municipal scene, in that the same primary, and I want to talk a lot about this once we get Eric Dixon on the line, is this whole primary that's going to be taking place, which has as its undercurrent in these municipalities here in Essex County, these district leaders, and the value of these district leaders as it works its way up through all the way, and including the gubernatorial and the presidential races, which are coming up. So we always talk about the machine, and here we have an opportunity to see how the machine gears itself up the next 2 years. And that's going to be happening literally on June 7th. And I don't know how many of you all are aware, but I can tell you that for all the talk about lack of voter participation, apathy in the community, you haven't heard a peep about this primary that's coming up on June 7th. And I fear that it's because the folks in Essex County want a low voter turnout because they don't really want to upset the apple cart. They don't want to wake a sleeping giant. There will be no robocalls going out. There will be no posters going up. There won't be any of those things. There will be a very, very quiet election taking place during the between now and June 7th. And I see that we got Eric joining us on the line. Hey, Eric, welcome, man.
Hey, Eric, how you doing, sir?
I'm all right, brother. I was just talking about, to recap, I don't know if you caught it, dialing in. The polls have just closed in Kentucky, and they're calling it too close to call with Bernie Sanders.
Hey, but I got too close to call, sir.
Say too what?
I said I got that also. It's too close to call right now. That fares well for our guy Bernie.
It does fare well for him, right? Because they said Kentucky was a Hillary Clinton state. So, Bernie right. Sanders rocks out in Kentucky, man. I got to tell you, and the disingenuous nature of what
media?
Mainstream media is doing. And you and I talked about this off air. There is a roadmap there where Bernie Sanders could actually be ahead of Hillary Clinton by pledged delegates going into the convention. And you haven't heard a single conversation about that. In fact, what we've heard is Bernie Sanders does not have a path to victory. He cannot do it. He, you know.
More than likely, the reason you didn't hear anything about that is mainly because it's an exorbitant amount of popular vote that Bernie would have to win to get the delegates to actually follow that path out, somewhere in the neighborhood of 70%, in between 65 and 70% all the way out. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's doable. But the way the delegates are proportioned out, which, you know, it's not winner take all like in most cases in the Republican race, they proportionally put it out to the amount of votes that you actually get. So, you know, even if you do out and out win the state, you might not necessarily get all of the delegates. So that's what's really burning him. And in order for him to move forward and actually win the majority of the delegates that are out there until they get to California and New Jersey on the 7th, he literally has to get around 70% of the vote to win them outright. But in my opinion, even though he may not get that and they proportionally allocate those delegates, I still think that his argument is seriously strong when it comes to making sure that his side of the argument is heard at the convention this year for the Democrats.
Well, for sure, man. And look, what I want to say is currently, if I'm not mistaken, the delegate count for Hillary Clinton, excluding the 524 superdelegates, is 1716. And the delegate count for Bernie Sanders, excluding the 40, is 1433, right? So, you know, again, we've got Kentucky, we've got Oregon, we've got, and Bernie Sanders is moving further ahead now as more votes are being counted there in Kentucky. I'm watching on my screen. But if he's able to pull out Kentucky, he's able to pull out Oregon. I mean, we look at this string of victories that Bernie Sanders is on, right? We take into account the argument that we both agree that he's going to take to the convention floor, that when you're talking about caucuses and you're not talking about closed primaries, Bernie Sanders wins hands down. And when you're talking about primaries, Bernie Sanders even winning some of those primaries, right? He's, you know, he's contesting her in a lot of those closed primary states. You know, but I think we both agree that California is going to be the deciding factor, even if he does run the table leading up to California.
That's definitely the mother lode. And what's interesting, basically, Hillary and Bernie is that Hillary actually has higher unfavorables, you know, than Bernie does have, you know, which is probably propelling Bernie in these later races and probably out into the end, you know. But here's something else, a little tidbit you might not realize. Joe Biden still, through the polls that are out there, about three or four polls, his favorables are higher than Bernie, which is also higher than Clinton's at the end of the day. So, you know, that it's still a plethora of people out there that might believe that Joe Biden still has a great race that he could run in this short period of time. What do you think about that, Eric?
No. I think that it would destroy the Democrat Party, much like there was talk about it destroying the Republican Party, to bring a person in who did not go through this process, who does not have earned delegates, you know, by way of fighting through this process, and it'll bring them onto the convention floor and thrust them upon the people who didn't vote for them, I think, you know, would just do a tremendous amount of damage to the Democrat Party. So I think that Joe Biden is probably, I mean, I know, you know, he had the personal issues and he was weighing whether or not to get into the race, but I'm sure right now Joe Biden is looking and realizing that he could have been the 45th president of the United States. Had he thrown his hat into the ring, you know, but be that as it may, you know, Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton are duking it out. And, I'll tell you, man, Bernie Sanders has heaped on him, you know, all of what the mainstream media is putting out there, including this thing that has been, bubbling up in Nevada, you know, I don't know if you heard about it, but, you know, there have been death threats made to committee people and such because, or at least alleged death threats by phone because Bernie Sanders folks, you know, believed that the system in Nevada was rigged. And so they went to, you know, to that meeting and they turned over the tables, man, literally turned over the tables and, you know, and said, we're not going to have you guys steamroll over us anymore. And now you have the mainstream media, you know, kind of comparing the Bernie Sanders crowd to Donald Trump crowd. You know, so right. I just think that, you know, what the mainstream media is doing to Bernie Sanders, and they got to understand this. They're not just doing it to Bernie Sanders, man. They're pissing off a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters. See, you can't separate Bernie Sanders from the movement or from the supporters of the movement, right? And they're trying to do that, but you know, no matter how fine that scalpel is, you can't separate them. We're like Siamese twins that, you know.
That scalpel was seriously sharp because at the end of the day, he would stand up, for instance, against, you know, issues with campaign supporters, you know, out there doing things in the world. I mean, excuse me, in the election that, you know, are beneath the candidate itself. Whereas Trump actually goes along with, you know, the fodder and the bull that his campaign supporters put out there. And I do fully respect Bernie for his candor and the way he's running his campaign, as opposed to Mr. Trump, when their supporters are involved and so on and so forth. I mean, I'm sure you remember where Trump pledged to pay the legal fees of the individuals that get involved in the suffering that his campaign rallied, which is so retarded. You know, you would never get that out of Bernie, but. I do believe that his supporters have a really good point wherein, you know, they're not getting the coverage that Trump gets, that Hillary gets. They're not getting the points on the issues like Trump gets, like Hillary gets. And it's really not fair to Bernie because at the end of the day, he's right there with Hillary in the vote count overall and with delegates. I mean, you're talking 200 delegates. That's a hell of a lot. I mean, when you're talking about 300 million people that live in this country that have the, you know, and at least two-thirds of them with the opportunity to vote. So, you know, fight on, Bernie's supporters like myself, because I really believe that if he continues on the path with these strings of wins and he drop one, you know, and then get proportional, you know, delegation, and he continues to win and drop one, you know, with the delegation being proportional, I think that he'll be a little bit closer than we believe he's going to be on not just the 7th, but when California comes around and when that convention comes around. I believe if he's under 150, that he really, really has a great opportunity to be the next president of the United States.
Well, as we speak, Bernie Sanders is moving further ahead of Hillary Clinton in Kentucky. So it's going to be real interesting, man. I'm waiting to see what these spin doctors have to say about it. But listen, man, in our own state, right, we've had an announcement from Phil Murphy that he's running for governor. And, you know, dude, it's on now. I think it's on. You know, I think everybody realized that he was going to do it, right? That's why he started the New Way New Jersey thing. But now to commit to run, and then I read that he loaned himself $10 million to get the campaign started. So it's going to be interesting. Say what?
I said $10 million?
Yeah, he loaned himself $10 million. He loaned the campaign $10 million to get the party started. So, yeah. So he's hitting the ground running. How many? You got four. You got Sweeney, you got Phillip, you got Murphy, and Joe D. has said that he's going to run as well. But, you know, my thought about this is that Sweeney's going to drop out at some point, right? They may look at as Sweeney in the Congress. They, you know, and I'm talking, when I say they, I'm talking about the guys down in South Jersey. You know, we'll look at Sweeney being in the Congress. I think that that Norcross has such disdain for Phillip that he's going to do anything he can to ensure that Phillip doesn't win. And I just don't know. I don't know that that Joe D could get it done.
Really? You don't think Joe D could come up with things he'll start it off with?
No. I'm not talking about the $10 million to start it off with. But now understand that Phil Murphy is a prolific. Say what?
No, I was just laughing. It was a facetious question. Can you hear me?
I'm here. So Phil Murphy is a prolific fundraiser, you know, which is why he became the ambassador to Germany for Obama. He raised a considerable amount of money for Obama. And so I believe that Phil Murphy is going to be able to raise whatever he needs, man, to have whatever guns he needs on the streets to get this thing done. And so these other guys are going to have to come up with the money, but outside of the money, it's the politics, right? It's organizing the people to get, you know, within the states. And so we're going to talk about the organization of the party in a minute in these primaries that are coming up in New Jersey, starting all the way with the what do you call them, the district leaders, working your way up to the municipal chairs and to the county chair, you know, and how that works out throughout the various counties in New Jersey that are going to have to be put together like a puzzle to make the next governor. You know, but what do you think about that, you know, the field of candidates?
I've met Phil Murphy in Irvington. Wonderful fellow. Met Sweeney in Irvington. Not a bad guy. Of course, you know, I've met Joe D and Mr. Phillips. I met him in Irvington. All, you know, vying for, you know, to be the executive of New Jersey. Me, myself, you know, I do like all of them for their own particular reasons, but I actually like Joe, you know, at the end of the day. I think Joe would be a wonderful governor for the state of New Jersey, and I think that Essex County would be remiss in not putting everything that they have plus the kitchen sink to make sure that Joe D becomes the next governor of the state of New Jersey. I think that we would have a friend in Trenton if we put him in office. And I also think that, you know, it would be, you know, a good thing for Essex County, being that we would take some continuity out of it and grow the county along with having a great friend in Trenton. That's what I think. And with Murphy and Sweeney and Phillip notwithstanding, they all, again, have the strength. But I think that Joe has the experience, and I think that Joe would, again, be a wonderful friend in Trenton. And, you know, I'm just going to do that right now and now. I might as well. I might as well not wait when we can do it now. So, I will put my bets on Joe.
So what do you think that, because in some of the towns within Essex County, and I'm speaking more specifically of the urban towns, there are a lot of folks who don't think that Joe D has paid the necessary attention, you know, to these urban communities, that he's spent a lot of time, you know, courting folks in the suburban towns of Essex County.
I think that when you're the governor or you're the head of anything, that you have to be the head of all of it. Essex County is just not, you know, full of cities. It's also full of boroughs. It's full of small towns. And I think that everybody has an equal share in what goes on in the county as a whole. And overall, if you look at Essex County as opposed to 20 years ago, when Joe was really getting involved in what's going on in Essex County, I mean, we have some of the most beautiful golf courses, for instance, in the world. I mean, if you go out to even Weak Lake Park, you know, and you go behind the you know, behind the tenants and so on and so forth. It's a wonderful, wonderful golf course there in that county park that, you know, I give them a lot of credit for. I give them a lot of credit for making sure that the county roads in the district are, you know, manicured enough, you know, to, you know, be as good as what we can get in New Jersey. So, you know, I you can't put all that on the shoulders of one individual. You know, again, we do have a governor, we do have a legislature, we do have a state senate, you know, and all of this goes through all of them. So I would have to say that, you know, Joe did a wonderful job making sure that he can get the resources that he can get from the state to make sure Essex County, you know, is not just aesthetically beautiful, but at least the quality of life in the district is, you know, up to par with everybody else in New Jersey. And I can't say that about all the other guys.
All right. Well, we, you know, it's still
that's just
early,
my
right?
Point of view. Right. It's early.
Yeah, we got almost a year and a half to go to see what happens. And, you know, we'll certainly hear at All Things Political. We'll be reporting in exactly what's going on. And, hey, listen, man, I can tell you, and I didn't tell you before we came on air, but I think you'll be excited by this. We're in negotiations to have Phil Murphy join us on All Things Political.
Okay, that's wonderful.
Oh, he's excited to come on. They're just working through it on his schedule. But we're going to have him probably early June. We're going to have him on. And then what I'd like to do is reach out to all the other candidates and have them come on so that we can connect them with our audience and talk about all of these different issues and find out why, you know, each of them believe that Essex County in particular should get behind them. I mean, you certainly gave a, I think that Joe D might be able to take, you know, the soundbite that you just provided and use that as an excellent, you know, as an excellent piece to show why, you know, why he should be considered.
Well, let me say this, Eric. Let me say this. You know, at the end of the day, I'm not trying to, you know, implore anybody to do anything other than what they would normally do. My thing is just this, you know, when you look at, you know, an executive, you know, of a state, you know, you have to have that person who has the ability to go from north to south or from east to west, and that has the ability not only to raise money, but to be able to raise the consciousness and the hope of the people in the state. And I just see that in a guy, you know. Will there be something happening between now and, you know, election time where one of these other gentlemen can, you know, really, really make a stand and say, you know what, you know, this is what I believe in and push it and people, you know, follow it and catch his fire and hopefully, you know, does what it is that he wanted to do from the beginning. That's great. You know, but, you know, just me, from what I can see, I think that Joe probably has the most experience, as an executive, to be able to push forward, you know, the initiatives of not just our county, but the state overall, you know. And again, when Phil comes on in June, you know, I'll definitely push him to make sure that, you know, he can fit the bill on all those issues, on all the issues that, you know, we hold dear, you know, not just in Newark, but in Irvington and East Orange and Orange, you know. I don't live in West Caldwell, but I want them to have, you know, the quality of life that they deserve also, you know, and they're getting a little better than we are. So at the end of the day, I just think that Joe would bring home the bacon for us in Essex County.
Cool. A&E, I got another surprise for you, too. You ready for this?
Here we go. Yeah, let's go.
Listen, man, there's some people who love what we do week in and week out. And so I had a meeting yesterday with a guy who has an FM radio station, and he was talking to me about us possibly moving our show to a 2-hour slot that he has available. So, you know, probably, you know, shortly, you know, we'll have some more discussion. But if it all sounds right, you know, and if it fits with, you know, what it is that we're trying to do, and if our listeners are down with it and the people who follow us on social media are down with it, we'll be moving to an FM radio station, man.
Really?
Taking it up. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm all with it. I'm all with it, Eric.
I'm all with it. It makes sense to me. You know, why am I with it? Because, you know, FM would be, a step up and, you know, maybe a step sideways. You know, I really believe in this internet thing. I think that,
it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll definitely simulcast. So we'll still do the internet show, mm-hmm. And then, we'll be able to just add more content, right? More listeners, more content. Then at the end of the day, man, the biggest thing that I was talking about, I said, look, we're about holding people accountable. So if you guys are not ready for that, then you're not ready for us because, at the end of the day, we're trying to provoke accountability on all levels. So that's the good news.
That's so awesome, now, man. And that's a good deal.
Hey, we're trying, man. We're trying, E. We're trying to get the, connect with the people and with the politicians and make this thing happen. But listen, man, this June 7th primary. Is a big deal, listeners. I want you all to listen to this. It is a big deal. We always complain about party politics. We always, mm-hmm. people complain about line A. People complain that they're not involved in the process. Well, here mm-hmm. is the time when the machine retools itself, right? Every 2 years, mm-hmm. they retool. Mm-hmm. And you have an opportunity to get off the bench and get involved, right?
Right.
So, I know you and I talked about this, E, and so I don't know if you got the same information I got, but
mm-hmm.
the layout, as I understand it, is that you'll have these district leaders who are elected, and many of them, and I'm telling you, many of them are elected with as few as 12 votes. 12 votes that a district leader gets elected.
Let me ask you a question, Eric. How many people live in the city of Newark?
Oh, dude, a few hundred thousand, either high twos, low threes.
It's about, it's about a quarter of a million, let's say, give or take. Quarter of a million people. Right. So if you split quarter of a million up into five, and you break that down, and then you figure out how in the hell you are one of two people in one of those districts that got elected when you got 9,000 or 12,000 people in that district alone to that has the ability to go out to vote. And you won with 12 votes.
Right. Well, because civics, man, people in our community don't really understand civics, and they don't understand how government works, right? So they don't give value to the district leader. And they don't understand what, they look and say, well, okay, I kind of know what a mayor does and I kind of know what a council does, but they really don't know what council people do because, for the record, council people are not responsible for supplying hot dogs to block parties. That's not the responsibility of
the That's not part of the job description.
That's not part of the job description. But you go through our communities, man. And they will tell you, I ain't getting no hot dogs from them. They ain't come to this. They didn't do this, that, and the other. We ain't getting nothing from them. So they don't really understand the role, the true role of a council person, right? They don't understand the true role of a mayor. You know, the mayor of Newark, he can try to influence education, but, he really has nothing to do with education. Right, but he ran on an education platform, unlike towns like East Orange, where they have an appointed board of education and the mayor is, has a direct hand in appointing people to the board. But even after appointing them to the board, he is supposed to have no role in governance after that. But they don't understand the politics, E. And so you got these district leaders who will be elected, right?
Mm-hmm.
With as few as 12 to 14 votes, some of them. And those mm-hmm. district leaders will then go and they will vote for a municipal chair, right? And we discussed this off air. Irvington, what's the structure of Irvington again?
Well, it's the same as pretty much everywhere else. I mean, you have a chair of the committee in Irvington, And then subsequent to the chair, you have two district leaders per district in each ward. So, in, say, for instance, in where I live in the North Ward, there are nine. So there are 18 representatives that are district leaders in the North Ward. Overall, it's somewhere in the area about 44, 45 district leaders in Irvington. So, I mean, from what I understand, what happens in that these individuals vote for the chair, which is fine, and then they also have an overall vote, yay, nay, what goes on as far as voting for, excuse me, the county chair.
Okay. Now, I got a different – I spoke to a district leader in Newark, and she said to me that they show up and they vote for the municipal chair. Right now in Newark, each ward has a chair. So you have a central ward chairman, a west ward, east ward, south ward, and north ward chairman.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're called presidents in Irvington.
Okay. And mm-hmm. so you have a chairman in each of the wards, right? But you don't have a Newark chairman. Like in Irvington, you have an Irvington chair.
Oh, really?
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. In Newark, you don't have a Newark chair. You have five chairmen, one for each ward in Newark.
And they don't close it up with an overall chairperson of the Newark Democratic Committee, so to speak.
No, they don't.
Wow.
No, they don't.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay.
That's new to me. I didn't know that. Okay.
And what she told me was that the chairman, not the district leaders, the individual chairman cast their vote for the Essex County chair. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So
they would essentially get five votes out of Newark.
They would get five. The chairman gets five votes out of Newark.
Okay. Fair enough.
Right?
Okay.
And so now if and so you're saying that in Irvington they get the 40 plus the
No, what I'm saying in Irvington, the 40 votes for the Irvington Democratic chair. The Irvington Democratic chair, and I may or may not be wrong, but from as I understand it, and I will continue to research it, as I understand it, the time I had to get it is that each one of these wards has a president. The president takes a vote in the ward. It's an up or down vote, meaning who is a majority vote. The majority wins, and that ward gets the majority of, you know, all of the votes of the winning side. So and you're still essentially getting four votes out of Irvington, but how they come to getting the vote may be a little different than it does in or Newark or Orange or East Orange or what have you. I guess that's, you know, per bylaws of each community, you know. But I still think, you know, at the end of the day that it's rigged no matter how you look at it, you know, because, you know, if you have influence over your district leaders and you're the president of that ward, then you can sway the vote no matter how you slice it. You know, so in a way, if you look at it from overall perspective, it's a rigged process. It's really not democracy as we suppose that we live in.
So understand, right? The whole thing, it's rigged because even the district leaders who win are the ones who are on the line in the primary.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So those are the ones who win. So in order to get on the line.
All the way, right. Mm-hmm.
Already made. Before you became a district, listen, so the listeners understand, before you became a district leader, you made a deal to get on the line. And do you believe that the current county chair is going to put you on the Democratic county line if you don't have an intention on voting for the committee chairs, the municipal chairs that they want you to vote for? So they've already asked you, they've already deposed you and said, hey, Eric, listen, you want to be on? Okay, so, you know, after the election, we're going to get together on Tuesday after the election, 7 days after the election, and we're going to vote for, you know, for your municipal chair. And do you support you know, such and such. And if you say no, then they're going to put you on a line. If you say yes, they're going to put you on a line. And then they're going to put all of their money behind you and the line to ensure that you become a district leader. And then they're going to expect that you vote the way that you said you were going to vote. And then they're just going to wheel their county chairperson in again.
Here's the sadder part to that, Eric. You know, you get a poor guy or a lady, you know, that wants to do something positive in the community, and they say, well, okay, fine, being a district leader might be that, and they go out and about, and they get elected, and they meet and greet people, and so on and so forth, and come to find out that their politics don't match with the politics of the powers that be, so to speak. And now you have a situation where they are blackballed and ostracized and not really being a part of the party. Why? Because you don't agree with the line that's in power right now. That's also not democracy. I believe that you should contend with every single person in your community, whether they agree with you or they don't agree with you, whether they're even with you, you know, or they're sideways with what you're talking about. At the end of the day, if you can't do that, then I can't really say that you're a public servant. You're a servant of politics, or you're a servant of, you know, a Democratic Party or the Republican Party or whatever party you want to be. You're a servant to that. You're not a servant to the people that you're supposed to be your constituents. And that's what I have a problem with.
But, right, we all, up until this presidential election, we all in some shape or fashion believed in democracy in a way that we don't believe in it anymore, right? Looking at the Republican race and the Democrat race, we see that the emperor has no clothes. And so when you look at it on a municipal level or a county level, you see that the tree is rotten at the root, right? So even before you get to Washington, at a district leader level, you have the same kind of party politics where, you know, if you don't agree with me, we're going to shut you out, right? And then we're going to, and then what are we going to do? In 2 years, we're going to replace you and try to get somebody who agrees with us instead of us trying to work together, right? So we're going to ostracize you from this process. And so I think that, you know, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, this is why I am so excited about Bernie Sanders and the campaign that he's running and how he's raising his funds and the initiatives that he wants to push forth. Because he's not a part, you know, he's not part and parcel of the whole deal. I mean, he actually stood up and said, look, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing it different from everybody else. I'm doing it different from what it was ever done before. And this is the response that I'm getting for it. I mean, he's getting a huge, huge response. I mean, you have to flip that and say also to Trump, wherein, you know, I don't agree with what he says, and I don't agree with his politics, I don't agree with the way he presents it, but at the end of the day, there are people out there that said, you know what, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of what's going on in D.C., and we need to send somebody there that I think that lines up with the way that I think. And at the end of the day, I think that, you know, he's going to go far with those individuals, but because the fact that there aren't enough white males in the United States to vote Donald Trump in, I don't think he's going to be able to, you know, push that off. Let's flip it to the Democratic side, where I think that if Bernie continues to push forth what he's pushing forth and continues to use vote, he has to be able to say, you know what, I got to grab a little more of the white male vote, I have to grab a little more of the African-American vote, and I might push him over the top. And that's what I'm supposing. I really think if he can find a message that can drag African Americans away from Hillary long enough to say, you know what, this guy's plans line up more directly with my plans, and the way he's running his campaign, he's not a part of the establishment, and everybody's moving away from the establishment, and that's why I think that if he continues that, he's going to do well. And anybody, even on the local level, you know, it's harder on the local level to do that. It's harder to be that guy with no money, limited platform, limited time in a council meetings, and nobody knows him, to be able to get a point across, even if it's a great point. You know, they're looking at the people that out there that do give out the hot dogs, that do make sure that the old ladies get, you know, a turkey on Christmas and so on and so forth. Those are the guys that are in the minds of these individuals when it comes to vote. It doesn't have anything really to do with what they're trying to push forth, because even politics rule at the local level.
Yeah. Well, you know, my hope is that this movement that Bernie Sanders has started on a national level kind of trickles down to local level, because what you need to have is you need to have a complete upheaval of the current system. You know, you need to have, listen, you could literally upset the apple cart. I was doing the math today, man. You could upset the apple cart by doing a write-in. You know, forget about being on the line, right? Just do a write-in. Just form, you know, form a ticket called, if you were going to do NORC, right? Form a ticket, Democracy NORC, right? That's your ticket. And then you just want to write every person in. And then you can look at the exit polls from this election that's going to happen on June 7th. And you can see how many votes each district leader got, right? So you know what your target is in each district. So if you know, like, you know what, I only need 20 votes out of that district to become a district leader. All you have to do is go and put yourself in as a write-in candidate and then have people fill out mail-in ballots, right? You don't have to go to the polls. Just fill out a vote-by-mail ballot. And then you get 25 of those, and you win.
But see, here's what keeps people from running, Eric. Here's what keeps people from running. You're that one guy in the blowing smoke in the wind.
Right, you know, but what I'm saying is you have to have a plan, E. So that's what I'm saying. So if you started a movement, and like I said, let's say it was Democracy NORC. So, you know, we're going to free NORC, Democracy Irvington, Democracy East Orange, Democracy Orange, right? That we're gonna create a better community, you know, by focusing on these three issues, right? And we need you to come out and support us because we have these district leaders. Now, you don't have to win 100%, but if you want enough district leaders so that when you went to vote for the municipal chair, it wasn't a given that person was gonna win, right? So now you actually have a real debate going on about who should be the municipal chair, right?
I can't argue with that.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So you're arguing the point about the municipal chair based on who the municipal chair wants to have be the county chair, and you have the conversation with the county chair, talking about what their particular politics are, who they support, and whether they're aligned with you. And so it will require the creation of another party outside of the – you can't have – because, look –
Right,
it's
no, you have to rename it. Right. It would be a rename situation. There's just no two ways about it. It would be the North Democratic Committee squared, or whatever you want to call it. It couldn't be exactly the same thing if you don't run on their party line. You know, that's how that goes. So you will have to create your own.
We got to stop complaining about how they want us to play in their sandbox. It's their sandbox, right? They've set it up. They've set the rules up. And they play the way that they want to play. We come into their sandbox and say, we don't like the way you're playing in your sandbox. Well, okay. And they kick us out. And so we should be okay with that. But we have enough. Because, when you look and see that a district leader got 12 votes out of an entire damn district, that means that you have the potential of getting thousands of other people who didn't vote for that person, right? So instead of saying 12 people voted, say thousands didn't vote for them. And now go get those thousands to vote for you. And if you could do that, you can begin to shift the paradigm in county politics, because now you come to the table saying, here is our charter, here are our bylaws, here are the things that we believe in and that we want to change, here are the things that's wrong with the current process that the people are shut out, and we want to create a process that we invite all. Listen, at the beginning of this show, E, before you came on air, I said This is a quiet election. You've heard nothing about this primary. Nothing.
Yeah, it was pretty quiet.
Why do you think that is? They don't want
Well, that drives down voter turnout. When you drive down voter turnout, you have a better shot of incumbency. You know, and that's just a fact. You know, there's no two ways about it. You know, the higher the turnout, that means that you have individuals who are inputting themselves, whether they have been there for a while and haven't participated, but are inputting themselves into the present where they weren't there in the immediate past. So, I mean, my thing is this. I mean, and we've had this conversation before. You know, you have a candidate that wants to do something in the community, but, you know, don't have $100 to go out and, you know, put the name on a card, you know. So what do you do when you don't have that, you know, you don't have the resources financially to be able to run a basic everyday campaign? You need to go and knock on people's doors. And you tell me, you're a district leader, you can't, or you propose to be one, and you can't go knock on, you know, 200 doors in a year, or, you know, whatever time frame you set for yourself, and you don't deserve to be a district leader. I think it's a travesty that a district leader exists or an elected official exists in a community where you have 10,000 individuals that have the ability to vote, but 12 people went out. That's less than 0.01%, you know, of the registered voters to actually go out to vote. So, you know, you can't shoot me and say, oh, well, you know, the system is winning and, you know, the power is too strong and we can't fight it, when you're literally fighting a paper giant. 12 votes, bro? I don't understand it.
Listen, man, I agree. And I tell everybody who talks to me about, well, Eric, how can I win? I say, listen, and I told the folks in the last school board election, I said, you know how you win? You don't need money right now. Literally, right now, you don't need a dime. All you need is time. Mm-hmm. If you went and you just do the math. The top vote getter in the Board of Education race in April was Kim Gatti with 5,800 votes, right? 5,884 votes. So do the math. 5,580 votes divided into, you know, 365 days. Let you know... Mm-hmm. How many days you need, I mean, how many votes you need per day.
Per day,
right. You know what I mean? And right now, it's not an insurmountable number. But the closer you get to election day, yeah, it is. If you wait till the day before election day, then yeah, you need to find 5,800 votes in one day. If you do it two days before election day, then you need to find half of that each day. You do it four days before, you need to find a quarter of it each day. And now just keep pushing that out into your calendar. But what happens is, like you said, E, you know, folks want to be board members, or they want to be council people, they want to be mayor, they want to be senators, they want to be district leaders, they want to be whatever they want to be, but they don't want to put the work in. Right? Meanwhile, this machine, like I said, recalibrates itself every 2 years. And those 2 years off, it's grinding, man. It's never stopping, you know.
Never.
And so folks have to understand that. And the other thing is, look, my understanding is from people who told me that they've been on the line, that the county, the party comes to them and says, listen, you want to be on the line? It'll cost you, you know, you got to ante up, you know. And some folks, it's as much as, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 that they have to raise for their particular campaign to be on the county line, right? So when you say, well, where does the money come from? You see these individual candidates having their fundraisers, and when they have their fundraisers, they're kicking up to the county. It's you know, because literature has to, they got to get literature, they got to, you know, do mailers, do all things they have to do. And so the same thing would have to apply to this new party politic thing that you and I were just talking about, where, you know, whatever it is, folks would have to come together and say, okay, we're gonna create a charter of some sort, right? And we're going to each, you know, kick in, you know, so that we have, you know, some money to be able to fight. And maybe you can't fight, you know, citywide, maybe you can't fight countywide to begin with. Maybe you fight in a district first. You win a district, right? And then the next go around, you try to win two districts, right? Mm-hmm. Or a ward, and then two wards, and then a third ward, right? But you have to, you know, you have to organize and then mobilize.
Right? No, no, it don't happen. It doesn't happen overnight, bro. And if it does, it happens far and few in between. You know, at the end of the day, it's a grind, like you said. You literally have to have a plan to get to point A with the intent on getting to point Z in time. You know, you're not going to be Obama overnight. You know, you're not going to win a Senate seat just walking up and say, I want to be a senator. You know, you seriously have to put the time in. You have to look at the numbers. You have to make sure you raise the funds. Your platform has to be correct, so on and so forth. So, you know, when you're talking about a district leader, you know, that really, you know, that basic, you know, community entity on the, you know, actually pretty much the lowest part of the political scale, and you can't go out and you can't talk to your neighbors. You can't talk to the guy across the street. You can't talk to the guy around the corner. You can't talk to the business owner, you know, who's been in your neighborhood that knows you, to say, look, you know, this is what we're doing. This is how we want to move forward. And if you can't get them to support you, you know, party politics and machine politics will win all the time. That's the only way you're going to be able to extricate, you know, yourself or extricate your neighborhood out of being controlled, so to speak.
Yeah, but then, E, the other piece is, man, it literally, I think, has to be an organized effort, because what happens,
exactly,
too, and it's important for folks to understand, is sometimes you have folks who run independently of the party politics, but their goal isn't really to be independent. Their goal is to make enough noise so that the party looks and says, oh, wow, this person has, you know, has the ability to impact some of what it is that we want to do. And so what does the party do? They say, well, you know, we'll bring them into the fold. We'll offer them something. Right? And then we'll shut them up. And then all of a sudden,
right, you water them down. Right.
Yeah. You know, you just, you know, what they call it, you assimilate them. And so you have to have people who have core values that, and I'm not saying that necessarily are for the sake of being contrary, run contrary to the current party politics, but you have to have an organization that says, you know what? What is it that we believe in? If we believe that, you know, we are not a part of that system, right? That we are disenfranchised. Well, how are we disenfranchised? And then what is it that we want? Put a plan together, and then again, organize, mobilize, and then you have to vote. But again, like you said, E, it's a damn shame that in some of these districts, man, you're going to have district leaders winning with 12 votes. 12
with
votes.
12
votes.
I mean, I think the guy in my high school president won with, you know, with more than 12 votes. That's retarded. I just don't understand it. Hey, look, man, you know, I feel like this. You know, politics is local. I feel like I respect those individuals that, you know, and wake up in the morning and have the you know, submission to want to serve the community, want to be a part of what's going on positively in the neighborhood. I salute them, because at the end of the day, everybody's not on that vein. But, you know, it takes more than just, you know, wanting to do that. You definitely have to go out there with a plan, with a you know, something in your heart to say, look, you know, this is not just helping the community, but it's also helping me. Then you can trust that person. If they're not getting anything other than a paycheck out of it, or some notoriety out of it, or, you know, you're the neighborhood guy who's the district leader, you know, then, you know, it's a failed sell proposition. You know,
nope,
I look for individuals to, when I vote for them, I look for individuals that want to do for themselves just like they want to do for their brother or their sister or their neighbor, so to speak.
So, folks,
so if it's more, if it's only 12 people, and if it's only 12 people, God bless them.
Yeah, you know, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to make available, I know that the ballots, sample ballots are going to be coming out the next couple of weeks or so, right? But I actually was able to get from the county all of the ballot information in a PDF. So I'm going to try to figure out how to create a link. I'm going to put it up on a website, and I'm going to create a link so that folks can go and download it and see what's going on in all of the counties. Certainly, I mean, on all of the towns within Essex County. Please find your town, find your district, and please just let people know, guys, that there is a primary coming up June 7th, and that you know, we have to represent with more than 12 votes per you know, per district leader or something like that. I know some of them.
Absolutely,
get like
and that vote is on the 7th, by the way. Absolutely, district leaders are being voted on the 7th. What's the numbers on Oregon right now, Eric?
Oh no, well, Oregon still has not closed, but 52% of the vote is in Kentucky. And
right.
Dude, when I tell you the vote is close, Bernie's winning by 942 votes with 52 reported. Yeah, so you know it's a close race, man. And but look,
how many delegates up in Kentucky? I'm sorry, I didn't do the research.
You know what? I'm not sure, E. I'm not sure, but
okay.
I'm gonna try to Google this quickly while we're still on air.
Okay.
Delegates. Right, in Kentucky, and let you know. But to me, it's more than the amount of delegates that are up in Kentucky. It's about the momentum.
Well, it's about momentum.
You know, it's about the momentum, man. You know,
absolutely.
And so if Bernie Sanders wins, I mean, Bernie Sanders is on an incredible roll. You know,
what is
so,
it? I think it's last 10 out of 11 or so, isn't it? It's something like that. 10 out of 11. That's insane.
Yep. That's insane, man. And again, not to keep harping on it, but it's important to know that in some of the states that he lost where there were closed primaries, he lost them because people who did not change their party affiliation from independent to Democrat couldn't vote.
Well,
you know,
see, that's why the numbers, his numbers are better against Trump than hers are, because of that X factor being the independent vote.
Yeah, and so you know, I believe again, right, that when he goes to the convention floor, he's going to have all of that data. And listen, the politicals in the Democrat Party, they already know the data. They already know that he beats Donald Trump by a larger margin. They already know that because they did it, right? So they shut out the independents, right? So they know what they did, you know. So now Hillary Clinton is up by 302 votes with 55% in Kentucky. So listen,
she might have got that one corner. That one county that's supporting her in Kentucky. Bernie's numbers are up in Oregon. Kentucky is a little surprised, like you said. I'm a little surprised that I thought she might be a little stronger than she is in Kentucky. But in my opinion, Kentucky is that indicator to me that, you know what, he could do very well in New Jersey. And he could do even maybe better in California. Eric, it's that time, buddy.
Hey, man. Listen, E, it's always a pleasure with you on Tuesdays, man. And we'll have reports in next week about what went on in Kentucky, what went on in Oregon. We'll have more information about leading up to the primaries here in New Jersey. And we'll certainly give you any information that we get on the gubernatorial race. Thank you all for listening to All Things Political, and we'll check you guys out next week.
Thank you. You've been listening to Eric Dawson talking politics and breaking down the issues. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. for All Things Political.